Joining the program now is Cindy Lynn Martin, a dedicated community member who has made a lasting impact in the Six Nations community through her work with many different organizations and her commitment to different initiatives and programs over the years. And recently, Cindy announced that she's facing a stage 4 cancer diagnosis, and she's now beginning extensive treatment for that. So today we'll be talking with Cindy a little bit about her journey throughout the diagnosis, and we'll get into some of the ways she has been able to help the community through her work and the impacts that she's had on Six Nations. So without further ado, Cindy Lynn Martin, thank you for joining me today to talk a little bit about your story with us.
Thanks, Andy. I really appreciate being here and given the opportunity to speak about my journey.
And I guess to start, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and share some of your background and connection to the Six Nations community?
Sure. I'm really, I was born and raised here at Six Nations. I'm related to practically everybody in the community. So, you know, it's a really close bond that we have within our community as to knowing where we are in relationship to everyone. And so a lot of people here in the community has watched, you know, me grow. They've helped raise me and guided me and educated me into who I am. And, you know, I was very influenced by Jake Thomas starting at 10 years old and, you know, and at our community Red Barn for kids. So I grew up with that, going there all the time, learning about our culture. And so going to school, my main focus was to help bring myself back and help the community with nutrition and physical exercise, you know. So I've worked for Six Nations Health Services for almost 30 years. In August, it'll be 30 years. So working in that role as a traditional wellness coordinator, I've been influenced by many of our people to look after ourselves in the prevention of diabetes and heart disease and cancer. So everyone saw me as being outgoing to be physical and healthy eating. So this was a really big surprise for when I was diagnosed with cancer back in June of last year. So working is one thing, but also volunteering. Like, I've volunteered as a coach for basketball and volunteer as a firefighter for about 9 years in the community. And I volunteer at the Agawe Canoe Club as a co-commodore. So looking at the different avenues that I've dedicated myself to helping our community, I'm just really thankful that the community is there to help me. And I'm just feeling very blessed and loved, very fortunate to have everyone's support.
And just being so involved with so many different organizations throughout the years, what has sort of driven you in giving back to the community so much? And why is it important for you to do that?
I think it's just the pride that we have of being Ongohoi and helping our people. You know, that was sort of like the influence that was given to me, is that, you know, there's so many things, that so many roles that people can play a part in. And just one of my gifts is just being there to contribute, giving him, you know, my energy, my ideas or my support for our community to develop and be healthy is my focus, you know. So I'm just hoping that with the encouragement of our local people coming together, I guess you could say we have a very rich community. And if we are all, you know, working together, that energy is invaluable, you know, to be healthy. So I'm still a great supporter of our community. And you know, I just hope that the younger generations pick up on that healthy lifestyle that we try to promote, not only in the workforce, but, you know, in general society, you know, continue to play lacrosse, continue to run, you know, so our culture speaks volumes about prevention. So that's what I've learned from our elders.
With that being said, I guess, and being so involved in the community, is there any hopes or community growth that you'd like to see happen?
You know, I think a lot of people need to start talking about this aspect of cancer. Like, for example, you know, the doctor didn't know how I got it, with it affecting either 1 or 2 year old children. They don't know why this cancer developed in me so late in my age. And so I think we need to look at more of this as to how cancer is being affected in our community, and it's the elephant in the corner. You know it's there, and we need to really look at how the different types of cancer that we have and what kind of treatments that we could be having done here at home, whether it's that part of the chemo and we don't have to travel all the way to Hamilton. But you know, I know it's going to be take time for that type of growth, you know, but I also want to acknowledge the importance of self-care and also exercise while we're maintaining good health, and acknowledge that that reflexology and Reiki are very important aspects of self-care. So yeah, that's the only thing I wanted to say is, you know, the importance of self-care and keeping a positive attitude, getting yourself out of bed, you know, and enjoying nature. You know, that it's not just taking the time for you, but for your family as well, so they can be involved in your self-care too.
And then just getting a bit into your journey with this diagnosis, can you walk us through that and how you're handling that news and the mindset you have while you're beginning this treatment?
Yeah. Well, in June of last year, I had to, there was a tumor found on my kidney. And so they removed the kidney and the tumor in August. And they found out that I was, I had Wilms cancer. And that's a rare form of cancer for adults, especially my age. And I'm probably the third person in North America, maybe the world, that has had this. And so I have a panel of doctors throughout North America watching my case and making their recommendations as to treatment, because there's no protocols for treatment for adults. So next week, well, up until January to now, I've been on weekly chemo sessions, but now, as of next week, I'll be on daily chemo for, I'm not sure how long that'll be, but I know I'm looking at 6 continuous days.
And obviously a very heavy topic. Has your perspective on life and community changed with this diagnosis or anything like that?
Well, my perspective has been very open-minded. To tell you the truth, the doctors didn't know how to proceed with treatment. And so it gave me an opportunity to experience, give me an opportunity to follow my traditional medicine recommendations, you know, medicines and ceremonies. And the Mohawk women singers come weekly to come and sing at my place. And I really like listening to our traditional songs. So it's been helpful. And I've also been doing alternative health treatments, like with red light therapy and grounding mats and electromagnetic impulse table. So I'm doing all areas of wellness, and also, you know, I got the health food corner happening at my house too, with supplements and healthy foods, and you know, you name it, it's in my smoothie.
And I know family and close friends are always so important in situations like this. How have they been in supporting you through that? And what has this experience taught you about the importance of those connections to have?
I'm very, very thankful for friends and family to be there to support me, because they come and bring medicine. And, you know, I can't say it enough that everyone's been contributing what they can, or here and there, you know, and coming to visit. And so, you know, because I don't look like I'm sick, you know, that it kind of, they forget, and they think I still have a strong get up and go to go do biking or paddling, or, you know, but the reality sets in when I have to stand up and pause and just take my time. Right. So, yeah, but it's incredible, you know, so it's not, you know, it's just an incredible experience. That's all I can say, is because I've been, you know, asleep or just trying to enjoy the sunshine. So but I'm just saying that it's overwhelming, the care that people take. And my daughter's there with her son. So my other daughter's, she's in Vancouver. So, but we stay close in contact with her too.
And obviously seeing the fundraiser and online auction that's been organized by your friends and family, well, what does that mean to see all the support from them and the community as a whole, as as you go through this?
This is really great, you know, to have my friends and family to support me, you know, knowing that alternative care is important to my treatment. I think it's actually helped me stay as strong as I have. So that's where the funding is going to be continuing through, you know, because, you know, I do the reflexology and the and Reiki and bring in, you know, the alternative parts of uplifting your whole health. And I also we also get medicine from the U.S. So it's just to help my immune system. And, you know, so I'm really, really thankful for my cousin to, you know, bring the alternative care aspects into my treatment plan. But again, this is all, you know, self-motivated care that you have to do to meet the chemotherapy halfway.
And just getting back into your community involvement, you touched on a little bit of the different things that you did within the community. Are there any moments or achievements or anything that you've worked on that you're particularly proud of?
Well, yeah, I was recovering last year from the kidney surgery. And so I had spent some time laying in bed and with my laptop, and I was writing. And so I wrote a book, and it was released on Valentine's Day. And the children's book is called If My Paddle Could Sing. And it was sort of, I was inspired by that book because me and a few coworkers, we do this water camp for kids to learn to paddle on the Grand River during the summertime. And we've done that for a few years. So a story was inspired by that in acknowledging Pauline Johnson. So that has kind of, and she's a distant relative. So she's inspired me to paddle and be a part of Chiefswood Park activities. So that's where the book came, and is to help people to be, you know, guardians of the water and in our land. And so it's a cute story, and I'm really happy with it. You can find it on Amazon, but yeah, I'm really, really happy. That book is in the auction for the online auction that's started.
And just lastly, did you have anything else that you'd like to share with anyone or everyone listening, I guess?
Well, I want to see, I want people to come out to the benefit dinner on April 5th. Come out on April 5th to the Fire Hall. To Station 1 for the dinner. It's from 5 till 8, and tickets are $40. You can contact me through either Facebook or, you know, call, email, text. I'm really hoping that people will come out and listen to the two bands of Old Sugar and Old Spice and the Second Line Brewgrass Band. And also, I'm hoping to be well enough to be able to sing with the women's singers, so Mohawk women singers. So they'll probably just do one or two songs. But yeah, I'm hoping that everyone can come out. But give me a call. My number is 289-253-4727 if you want a ticket.
That's awesome. All right, Cindy, thank you very much for doing this and everything you've done within the Six Nations community. And thank you very much for sharing your story with us today.
Thanks a lot, Andy. Have a great day.
I'm Andrew Dow, and this new story is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, which supports the creation of original civic journalism.